Wired Jesus Podcast, June 19th, 2009. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings of the Postmodern Pilgrim.
I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello. And welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together. I'm here at beautiful Camp Moana in central Ohio for a confirmation camp. For those of you who don't know what that means, in our Lutheran tribe, we usually set aside 2 years, 7th and 8th grade, and introduce the basics of the Christian faith to our kids. Now, originally, Martin Luther thought it was a good idea to have the parents, you know, do this. He wrote a great little book called The Small Catechism to help them do it. It had the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, explanations of baptism and communion, and all kinds of other helpful things. All written at a time when most of the parents didn't know these things themselves. So it became a great teaching opportunity. But somehow over time, the parents gave the book back to the church and asked the pastors to teach these things again. Not that I'm complaining. I am one of those strange pastors that really enjoys working with middle school kids. But I think our parents are missing out on what our kids are asking, and as I discovered this week, on what they have to say. I discovered during a teaching time here at camp that our kids are thinking in ways that I certainly wasn't when I was their age. One of the other pastors had the kids write an I Am poem. He got the idea from his daughter, who is an English teacher, and the concept's really quite simple. You begin by writing I Am, and then add two characteristics. And then you can add other statements, I try, I believe, I cry. The approach he took was to have the kids write, I am from, and then finish the rest of the sentence. He started by using some examples from his daughter's high school class. I am from Facebook, from LOL and OMG. I am from Broken Promises. I am from the dollar menu and foil wrappers. I am from Saturday detentions and black eyes and why can't you be more like your brother? I am from video games and crying before I go to bed and shouting from the living room. I am from getting up and doing it all over again. I came from his daughter's high school class just outside of Cleveland. He asked our kids from 8 different churches here in Northern Ohio to do the same thing. And I had the honor of compiling the statements so we could share them with the kids. Now, we're doing a camp that's outdoors, but we have a whole video system rigged up in the main lodge so we can do projection for worship and teaching. And my task is to put them together in a PowerPoint so they can see them in a way that makes sense in their language, something that some folks don't get. So I've been going over the kids' poems and was reminded again of the growing gap between generations that the church just can't seem to get a handle on. a gap that will kill denominational tribes like mine if we don't take the time to listen and understand where our kids are at. So listen to what some of our students said. I am from the given up and adoption. I am from a town where white and blue shines on a mascot. I am from the shouts and cries from my elders. I am from a place that never returns your thoughts, a place where dreams never come true. I am from a crazy, hyper, food-loving family. I am from a small town nobody cares about. I am from the black pellets and artificial turf of the field. I am from the wish of a better life in a better town. I am from that old house in that old town. I am from behind that closed door where I spend my time locked away with the computer. I am from my parents who cared for me, from my small town. I am from broken English. I am from you can be anything. I am from my parents' love and passion. I am from the family who spends time together. I am from the basement. I am from clay-filled lands. I am from the country where long grass grows, where the sun shines all day. I am from a day when learning and being the best is everything, when all I want to do is live. I am from my cell phone. I am from the river dirt, fresh river water in my toes. I am from all books who have been worn down from reading. I am from a pool of fresh, clean water that people never go swimming in. I am from pointed toes and rounded arms. I am from flowery outfits and delicate movements. I am from my mother's image. I am from sports. I am from the mall. I am from an odd-looking place that could be nice, but no one wants to help out. I am from MySpace. I am from hanging out with my friends. I am from a small island in the lake. I am from busy nights in August controlled by my schedule of volleyball. I am from outside the pool. I am from endless days at sports tournaments. I am from parents who care in a sports-filled life. I am from the 10,000 lakes with the red house on the hill. I am from the Smarties. I am from water. I am from sleeping. I am from vanilla ice cream. I am from dancing and singing. I am from all fiction books with a good story. I am from babysitting siblings. I am from outside. If you just listen to these examples, you realize you are dealing with a different world than what most pastors, churches, and even parents are living in. And I've recited this litany to congregation after congregation as a pastor, as a consultant. Young adults and their children are the legacy of the boomer generation. We are the ones where half our parents were divorced or single. Half of us were raised with no religious tradition, all in the name of personal choice or out of apathy. We were given a culture of immediate gratification and fast food. We are visually oriented, not text oriented. Our language, relationships, and worldview are communicated digitally. We yearn for the ancient, but to express it and house it in our own language. Community and family are not grounded in blood relationships. In the church's arguments over homosexuality, biblical interpretation, and worship styles make no sense to us. We are more concerned over authentic and loving relationships than the genders. We are more interested in learning to be like Jesus, in quoting verses to justify personal preferences. We are more interested in adding our voices and music to that of the whole church than being shut out and told to sing our parents' songs or go through the motions of our grandparents that don't speak Jesus to us today. That's landscape. If you are a Wired Jesus listener, you already know this. You also know, if you've been involved in a Christian congregation, that this reality gets brushed off with statements like, we are, fill in your blank, we aren't like that community church, as if it's a badge of honor to be a dying denominational church as opposed to be a growing independent church. That's my service, Pastor, and if we want to have a new service, it will have to be at a different time, different place, or over my dead body. It likely won't be a service over anyone's dead body, since most everyone under the age of 45 in a place like that will have left years ago. I'm always amused when I hear someone say that our children are the future of the church, as if they aren't right now. But if we don't understand who they are now, that future we keep talking about will be somewhere else and different from what any of us have experienced in church or outside it. Faith is something different for them in a way, in many ways deeper and more jaded than I was their age, and perhaps even more than most of their parents right now. Sadly, congregations seem more concerned in indoctrinating our kids into the past rather than connecting them with Jesus in the present. Which is why the website IamSecond.com is such a powerful example of how to speak faith and how to hear the journey of faith from the perspective of emerging generations. It's a webpage that is simply faith stories told on the net. But they're faith stories grounded in the present. There's a whole listing of pictures of people you can click on and hear their stories. Shannon Culpepper is a prime example, a 20-something coming out of a family with an absent dad who tried to fill the void with another father figure. There's Brian Welch, who was part of Korn and struggled with drug addiction, and he tells his story with the line, I do drugs all day, my daughter is singing Korn songs, saying, all day long I think about sex, and I'm gonna die. Powerful stuff. There are also boomers who tell their stories. But essentially it comes down to an extended I am poem, done perhaps YouTube style, that connect with God that connect with a journey of faith that makes sense in the world we're living in now. As I work to put these poems with camp pictures for a future worship service, because I think this is a thing that my congregation I serve now needs to hear. If I get put together into a PowerPoint, I'll convert it into a video and I'll upload it to Wired Jesus. But as I put this together, I'm reminded of an African proverb I heard. I am because we are, and because I am, we are. And when I think of this, I hear something of a conversation in the Bible between God and Moses. God appears to Moses and tells him to go to Egypt to free his people. And Moses asks, what God should he say sent him? And God answers, I am. Tell them, I am who I am sent you. I am. God is. Because I am the name of God, we are. It's the title of a favorite song of mine that I came across back in the Podsafe music days and has long since disappeared. The artist, I have no idea who he is or where he is anymore. But it sums up who and what God is about. Because God is, we are. We are a community built around living faith, not a museum faith. I am, we are. We are valued because God is, not because of family or friends. I am, we are. Well, I think that's the point of I am second. We are second because God is first in everything. Without God being first, nothing can be second or even counted. If we don't understand that, then we understand nothing about God. We understand nothing about following Jesus. I guess that's the challenge for many of us who are still in the organized church. You ask parents if they would do anything for their kids, you get a yes. If you ask the adults in a church if they would do anything for the kids in the church, or the kids in the neighborhood, well, the answer is probably no. Or, Pastor, I'll get back to you on that. Not if it means my preferences come second. Not if it means the church is really going to grow. Not if it means I can't have my way anymore. It's where a lot of our churches are stuck in. If you can't see Jesus in what our confirmation kids are saying, you don't see that as what the whole church needs to be about now, there really is no future for your church. I think it really is that stark. There's only one God, and any time we claim the title of I am for ourselves, well, then we no longer are. There's no church. There's no community. There's only selfishness. Most people under the age of 35 really aren't interested in that. And are checking out of churches and still are. However, this has been a great week. I'm glad to be with some pastors who understand this and connect with these kids relationally. And I have to say, I'm glad to be in a congregation that understands this and is willing to take the journey to get there for the sake of their kids and their community. So there's hope. And if you look a bit, I I think you'll find, like me, that there still are some places you can still see where I am. We are. Well, Wired Jesus podcast number 49 is now done, and next will be the long-awaited number 50. Links to I Am Second are on the webpage, and I'll also throw up there the song I Am We Are. It's really more of a love song, but it's a great tune. And for some reason, iTunes doesn't update as fast as it used to when I post. A couple of you have either emailed me or left some comments on the blog that it didn't upload to iTunes right away. So be patient if you see the blog updated and iTunes doesn't come up right away. I think it has something to do with PodPress and the new update to WordPress I did a month or so ago. So I'll keep working on that, but everything seems to be working fine now. So next time, Wired Jesus number 50. So until then, see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.